I'm glad you're here this morning. Like I mentioned earlier, we've been looking at six different looks at Jesus. Now, there are many more aspects than six of Jesus, but we've looked at several. We've first looked at the baby. Why did Jesus come as a baby? And we talked about how that was so necessary for us to be able to have full identity with Christ and understand that He has full identity with us. That He's gone through everything that we've gone through and experienced everything that we could experience. Then we looked at, what was the next one? We also looked at Jesus as the miracle worker, Jesus as the teacher, and last week we looked at angry Jesus, because Jesus got angry. And He got angry, and there were some specific reasons why He was so upset. And we need to take that and learn from that, because if what they were doing was making Jesus angry, my scripture says that I'm the same. Jesus says that the Lord is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if it made Him angry then, the hypocrisy and the putting on the false front of who we are, and then coming and trying to be religious in part of our life, and then living like the devil the rest of our life, if that made Him upset and angry then, guess what? It still makes Him upset and angry today, I believe. Today, we're going to look at Jesus as servant. Now, as we were singing this morning, I just couldn't help but notice, but everything we sung about was how great is our God. God, You are high. You're lifted up. You are above all things. And we sung of God's greatness and His greatness. And then here we are today, we're going to talk about Jesus as the servant. The complete opposite of greatness. But yet, what Jesus is going to show us is that by becoming a servant is the path to achieving greatness. He is the lion and the lamb. And the lamb. There are certain aspects that we need to understand and take into this. If you have your Bibles, turn them to... If you have your Bibles with you, turn them to John chapter 3. But I'm going to put a different screen on the verse on the screen. I'm going to put Matthew 20, verse 28. But turn to John in chapter 13, and that's where I'm going to be the bulk of the sermon. But I wanted you to see this verse. Matthew 20, 28 says, "Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give His life as a ransom for many." Jesus is teaching right there, and He says, John and James and their mother brought him to Him and said, "Would you grant that my boys can one at your right and one can sit at your left when you come into your kingdom?" And Jesus is like, "Hey, hang on a minute. Hold up, wait a minute. Let's put a little humility in it, because this ain't happening like this. You don't understand." Now, I'm not quoting Scripture, okay? I'm paraphrasing. And I may be ad-libbing just a little bit, but I think Jesus was saying, "You boys don't understand it at all. You don't get it, and you put Mama up to something, and she doesn't get it. But here's the deal. Unless you're going to do as I do and drink from the same cup that I drink from, unless you've learned to be the least, you can't be the greatest. And besides all that, it's not my decision. It's my Father's decision." But what He was saying here is this. Just as the Son of Man, just as Jesus was saying, just as I did not come to be served, but to serve and give my life as a ransom for many. You hear what He was saying? He was saying, look, wait a minute, hold on, you got it all wrong. In this world, because see, back then, 2,000 years ago, the focus was on self. It's not like today. The focus was on self. You know, everybody wanted to promote themselves. And I mean, they had like Facebook accounts that had their own profile pictures, and they were tweeting about themselves. "Hey, I'm a hottie today." And you know, they were doing all kinds of stuff. Not really. But they would have if they had had that stuff. And what I'm saying is, we today are no different than these disciples. And they were all about self-promotion. And Jesus was saying, look, guys, self-promotion is not the ticket. You got to come and be a servant. You have to serve, because the truth is, it's about other people. 2 weeks ago, we talked about Jesus as the teacher, but in this passage, Jesus is still teaching. He's still teaching, but he's teaching by giving them an example of serving. And it goes against human nature to be a servant, to willingly lower oneself below others, because that's what a servant is, right? Sometimes the scripture even says slave. Our tendency is to elevate ourselves. And then we try to cover that with an appearance of humility and make it seem as though we've done something just amazingly off the charts and that we're so humbled about it. But all the time, that's what Jesus called us to do anyway, just to be humbled about it. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Oh, we'll make a post on Facebook or we'll tell some friend, oh, I just had this awesome experience. I was so humbled. I saw somebody that was in need, and I gave them money, and I gave them more than I should have, and gave them more than they needed, but I was just so humbled to be able to do that. And I wrote an article and sent it to the Chronicle so they would put it on the front page of the newspaper for me, because I'm just so humbled by that experience. Oh, bless me. Y'all know what I'm talking about, right? Y'all seen other people do that kind of stuff, right? Yeah, yeah. In our passage that I had you turn to, John chapter 13. I'm going to read this. It's kind of a lengthy little passage. I'm actually going to read verses 1 through 17. That's why it's not on the screen for you, because it's a lot of verses, but unless the guys get that wrangled up back there. But I want you to have it in front of you. So here it is, John chapter 13, verses 1 through 17. It was just before the Passover feast. Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave this world and to go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. The evening meal was being served, and the devil had already prompted Judas Iscariot, son of Simon, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with a towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand." "No," Peter said, "you shall never wash my feet." And Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." "Then, Lord," Simon Peter replied, "not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." Jesus answered, "A person who has had a bath needs only to wash his feet. His whole body is clean, and you are clean, though not every one of you." For he knew who was going to betray him, and that's why he said not everyone was clean. But when he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I have done for you?" he asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that's what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you should also wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. I tell you the truth, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." I think it's amazing as I read this passage. In verses 4 and 5, he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, wrapped a towel around his waist, and poured water into a basin and began washing the disciples' feet and drying them with the towel that was wrapped around it. Jesus, this same one who we're singing about how great you are and awesome and we love you and we praise you, and you are we talked about the great miracle worker, and you are King of Kings, Lord of Lords, above all, no other name given by which men must be saved. No name is higher than the name of Jesus. And then here is Jesus stripping himself down to the bare minimum, wrapping a towel around himself, getting down on the ground. What's the ground made of? Dirt. Got down in the dirt, okay? Dirty feet? I mean, come on. I mean, I know you take exceptional care of your feet, but there are some people in this world that have, like, toe jam. Yeah, okay. Foot fungus. Besides that, they walk around almost barefooted all day long in the dirt. That's why when you came to a house, they would have the owner, the host, would have a servant wash your feet when you came in. Jesus made himself that servant. He said, allow me to do one of the lowliest things on this earth for you because I want to teach you a lesson. I want to teach you something about how you need to behave, what you need to be doing, what the status of your heart needs to be like. See, it wasn't just a physical act. Jesus wasn't saying, now, I want you to do, every time y'all get together, y'all need to wash each other's feet like this. I'm going to show you how to do that. Scrub here and scrub there and a little nip and a little tuck there and the file. That wasn't in the procedure. Jesus was showing them what their heart needs to be like. And he's showing us today what our heart needs to be like. We ought to have the heart of a servant. Jesus purposely provided an example for his disciples of what service truly is. He laid aside his garments. Did y'all see that? He said, he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, wrapped a towel around him, and he laid aside his garments. And sometimes I think the same is true for us. He prepared himself to serve, and the same ought to be true of us. We have to lay aside our garments. We have to lay aside our garments of pride, our garments of rights. I have a right to this. We have to lay that aside. Our garments of entitlement, our garments of self-service and of self-promotion. We have to lay that aside and take up the garments of service, such as humility and a willingness to be obedient to the Lord. And what Jesus is saying is, look, all you think you are and you're proud of and you want to boast and lift all that up, set that aside. Set that aside. Strip down. Wrap a towel around you, so you're decent. But don't try to build yourself up to be something. Jesus is not washing their feet in royal purple robes. He's got to lay these garments aside. I love this part because it came to Peter. Peter said, oh, are you going to wash my feet? Now, Peter, you got to give him a little credit, okay, because he understood who Jesus was, right? And he said, oh, wait a minute, I'm below you. Why are you going to wash my feet? Are you seriously going to wash my feet? You're the king. You are the Messiah. You're the chosen one, and I'm just a disciple. I'm just a nobody. I'm a hothead. I'm a whatever he was saying. I make mistakes. I open my mouth. I say stuff before I think. Aren't you glad that nobody ever does that today? But Peter was like, wait a minute. This is reversed. This is backwards, Lord. I should be serving you. And that's a true statement. Okay? Of course, he didn't say that, but at least not that we have record of. But he said, are you really going to wash my feet? And Jesus said this. You don't realize now what I'm doing, but you will understand later. Peter said, no, it ain't going to happen like this. You shall never wash my feet. And Jesus said, unless I wash you, you will have no part with me. Peter went, I won't have a part with you. Not just my feet, but wash all of me. Bathe me whole. Bathe all of me, my head, my hands, my feet, all of me. And Jesus was like, that's not necessary. It's not what I'm trying to teach you here. I'm not trying to teach you how to take a proper bath. I'm not teaching you how to do all this. What I'm teaching you is you need to have a servant's heart. For someone to serve, someone has to be served. That's not why Jesus came. Remember what we read in Matthew a while ago? I did not come to be served, but to serve. But yet Jesus was served. As Fran pointed out Wednesday night, we were talking about this and that Jesus was served. He did not come to have oil poured all over his feet. But yet when Mary was expressing that as an act of service and worship to Him. He didn't stop and say, no, wait a minute, I didn't come to be served. He understood that she needed to serve. And so He allowed her to do that for Him. The same can be true of us. Often, for whatever reason, we refuse to be served. Sometimes maybe we think, oh, wait a minute, I'm capable of doing this myself. Don't bother. I can handle this. Sometimes we think, oh, I'm so embarrassed because I usually am the one that's taking care of other people and now somebody's having to bring me a meal. Don't do that. I can cook. I'll manage. Or sometimes we think, you know, for whatever reason, maybe we're just too proud. Oh, you shall never serve me. I am going to be the humble servant. Look, I have 4 rewards for humility on my mantle. Look at them. I display them for everybody to see. You know, we want to say, oh, wait a minute, I'm this, but we don't match up with what we say we are. We need to understand that by doing so, by refusing others the opportunity to serve us, we are robbing them of the opportunity to be obedient and to serve. And we're robbing them of the blessings of God by being obedient. So let me encourage you to be obedient and serve others. But when someone comes to serve you, let them have that opportunity. Let them have that opportunity. Don't forget, it's not all about you. Sometimes somebody else needs to be obedient also. In verses 9 and 10, I love this part because Peter said, then, you know, don't stop there. Just go the whole distance. And Jesus was like, no, wait a minute. You already had a bath. I'm just going to wash your feet because I'm teaching you something here. And I think what the lesson I can take from these 2 passages of Scripture is this. When you are being served, you don't get to dictate what happens. Did you catch that? Peter was being served. He's like, oh, well, then here's what you need to do. Here's how you need to serve me. Do this and this and wash my not only my feet, but my hands and my head and all of me. And Jesus is like, now hold on, wait a minute. This is my deal. I'm going to serve you. When you're being served, you don't get to dictate what happens. Sometimes I wonder if our refusal to follow Jesus' example of humble service, if that's not just what we call pridefully elevating oneself above who He is. And in verse 16 it says, a slave is not greater than his master, nor is one who is sent greater than the one who sent him. Verse 17 says this. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. The largest word in that little passage right here. Here it is. Let me get on this side. The biggest word in this whole passage is right here. You ready? Y'all see that? The biggest word is the shortest word. It's if, I-F. But here's what it says. Now that you know these things, okay, now that I've taught you these things, I've taught you that to be great, you must be a servant, you must have humility, you must be lowly. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. You see, he's saying knowledge is not all there is to it. It's the head, hands, excuse me, the head, heart, the hands. Okay? And what I try to do every time I preach is hit the head, the heart, and the hands. Get it in the knowledge. Get it to where we believe it with our heart, which turns into action with our hands. And this is what Jesus was saying. Now that you know these things, you've got them here, take them to heart, and you'll be blessed if you do them. Do likewise. I showed you an example for you to follow. Do it. I want to say something just real quick to the guys. Men, I love you. Sometimes we as men, struggle. Because what has God set us up as scripturally? What has He made us? Somebody tell me. The head of the house, the leader, the hombre, the dude, right? The protector, the guardian, all that stuff. And sometimes, listen, sometimes we take that and say, well, that makes me the boss. That means everybody else does what I say. That means you're the servant, and I'm here. And listen, I think what God is teaching us in this passage right here, that if you want to be great in your house, if you want to be the greatest, and you want to be the leader, you want to be the respected, serve your wives. Serve your wives. Let me tell you something. I guarantee it. If you will serve your wife, there ain't no place she won't follow you. There's no place she wouldn't go. There's nothing she would not do for you when you honor her and respect her. Serve your wives. Today in this world, we have an attitude that if no one is going to serve me, I'll just serve myself. Right? We talked Wednesday night about, I asked the folks if they remembered full service gas stations. Anybody remember a full service gas station? You pulled up and said, yeah, fill her up and check the oil, check the tires, and they did all that. They dropped more stuff in your washer fluid. Did they have washer fluid back then, Dad? No. You had to find a puddle and get out and get your doily out, your hanky or whatever. Anyway, they would take care of everything. You pulled up, they full service. You didn't have to get out of your car. You gave them the money and cash, and they would run inside and bring you back the change, you know, and all that. And if you were good, you'd tip them, I guess. But how many of y'all been to a full-service station recently? Anybody here? Okay. Guess what? You can even go to the grocery store and get self-service. Now, isn't that something? You buy your stuff and get all the stuff in your basket. You can come up. You don't even have to talk to a checker. You can go to a self-serve checkout stand. You can check it out all yourself. We live in a world that is all about self-service. And I think in that, we've lost what it truly means to serve. We've lost what it truly means to serve. When we go out to a restaurant, and I don't know about you, but I've been to some restaurants and I got poor service. I think it probably only happens to me. Did somebody else have an experience like that? Okay, four of you did. Great. I'm not great that you had poor service, but I'm great that we understand one another. But sometimes we go out and we get service that's not quite what we were expecting, and we get upset because we paid for service, we didn't get what we paid for, right? I mean, I'm paying to eat here. Shouldn't I at least, when my glass is empty, shouldn't it get filled back up? When the chips run out, shouldn't there somebody bring some more chips? And I mean, you know what I'm saying? We expect to be served. I see somebody clapping back there. That's right. Bring those chips. Bring me 2 buckets of chips. I don't want to. We feel like we don't get what we paid for. But let me tell you something. Spiritually speaking, you don't want what you paid for. You don't want what you paid for. Our sins have purchased us an eternity in hell. But Christ has come to serve you. He's come to serve you. Will you refuse His service? Christ has served you by the giving of Himself to pay for what you and I have done. And in verse 20, it says, I'm telling you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you'll believe that I am He. Verse 20, I tell you the truth, whoever accepts anyone I send accepts me, and whoever accepts me accepts the one who sent me. He who receives Jesus Christ receives the Father. But he who refuses Jesus Christ refuses the Father. Allow Jesus to serve you. And then follow His example and serve others. Jesus has served you by the giving of His self. He came, made Himself. I mean, He is the name above all names, the highest, the Creator. And He came into His creation as a baby and has come here to serve. He said, I didn't come to be served, but I come to serve. And you should do likewise. You should do likewise. The first part of being served by Jesus Christ is coming to Him and allowing Him what He has done for you. Dying on the cross, rising again after 3 days, conquering victory and death, holding the keys of hell in His hand, saying, I can keep you out of there if you like. If you just come to me. Allow Him to serve you in that manner. If you have not been served by Jesus Christ in that manner, He wants to serve you today. He wants to serve you today. As a side note, I just want to say that if you are only interested in being served, then you're no different than the old Peter, whom Jesus rebuked. Sometimes we just want to kick back, take a bath, when all we need is our feet washed. If you're only interested in coming to church in order to get served, you don't understand the example that Jesus was providing here in this passage. And I want to challenge you to learn the truth presented in this passage and let verse 17 ring true in your life. Verse 17, now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. There are many opportunities to serve in this church. May the Lord deal with us ever so severely if we don't. And that sound, you may think, wait a minute, preacher. Are you bringing bad stuff? Oh, no, not if you'll be obedient. Not if we'll be obedient. But I pray that if we're going to be disobedient, and we're just going to sit back and let everybody else serve, and all I'm going to do is come to church so I can get what I need, get what I want, and I can slip out, and it won't make a difference in my life. It won't change me or anything, but I'll do it, and I'll do it again next week. And then when that time comes and when I need it, I know that they'll be there for me. If that's the reason you come to church, may the Lord deal with you ever so severely. If that's the reason I come to church, may the Lord deal with me ever so severely. Because if it takes a severe action from the Lord to change my heart, if it takes a severe action of the Lord to change your heart, I pray that He does it. And I pray that you respond to that. But you don't have to wait for that. You can respond before. Now we have a choice to make. Are we going to receive the service of Jesus on the cross? Are we going to follow His example and live a life of service? There is a dividing line. There's a dividing line. And you can't straddle the line and be fully in both areas at the same time. Right? Picture a fence. Stand one leg on one side, one leg on the other. Am I in the pasture or am I in the yard? You can't say both because I'm fully in neither one. Sometimes we think, well, I can be a servant and I can be over here. I can do self-service over here. I can lift me up over here. But times I want to serve. You can't do both like that. Sometimes we think, well, I'm going to be a Christian on Sunday, and then on Monday, I've got this other stuff planned. I'm going to do this over here. I'm going to hang out with my boys. We're going to watch Monday Night Football and cuss and go to the bar, and we're going to... I don't even want to go there. We can say, I'm gonna pray and sing praises to God over here, and then when I get to work, I'm gonna tell those jokes, and I'm gonna listen to that gossip, and I'm gonna get involved in this. I'm gonna meet the guys over at this other club in this place, and I'm gonna do this, and then over here, I'm gonna read God's word, and over here, I'm gonna pull this page up on the internet when nobody's looking, and I'm gonna. You can't do that. You can't be in both places and be fully in either one. Get off the fence. Quit straddling the line. Get in one or the other. Either say, Jesus, I am yours, or say this, Jesus, I ain't yours, and I don't want to be, and I'm not going to be, but do one or the other. Either you're in or you're out. Where do you stand? Where do you stand? This message on servant, we talked about Jesus being the servant. Here I am preaching about dividing lines, and it begins with service. It begins with Jesus performing an act of service for you. Have you accepted it? Have you claimed that and made that true in your life? Allowed the sacrifice of Jesus Christ to make a difference in your life? Have you accepted that, received the forgiveness? And if you had, you cannot stay straddling. You cannot stay on the other side of the line. You have to come fully to this side of the line. You can't go one foot into heaven. It's either or. It's either or. The choice is yours. I'm going to be in the front. Rebecca will be down here, especially if you're a lady and you'd like to come and speak with another woman. She will be here. The altar is always open. And let me just say, during the song service, we had some ladies come down to the altar. The altar is always open. If you need to come to the altar and nobody's at the church, you call my number. It's in the back of the bulletin. Brother Mike, I need the altar. I'll come and meet you and we'll open the altar. This altar is always open. It's never closed. Don't leave here walking like this, thinking you're straddling the line. Looks goofy, doesn't it? Sometimes that we look goofy walking around in our life. Oh, Sunday, Monday, Wednesday, Friday. It does look goofy. Well, guess what? You look goofy when you do that. I look goofy when I do that. People look at us and go, what's up with that? That guy doesn't know where he wants to be. Some days he's it. Some days he's that. You can't be that and be obedient to what Christ is calling us to be. Decide. Pick one. Pick one. Stand to your feet. Let's sing a song.